Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Hello out there in internet land. This is John Stanko, your host, welcoming you back for really back-to-back shows today. Two men that have deeply impacted my life. I'll be interviewing and one I have seen regularly, one I haven't talked to and seen in a few years, and you're going to hear from both of them today in two separate shows. So right now, waiting in the wings is a man who introduced me to the profiling system that I use so much today, the DISC profile. He helped me set up and establish my business almost 20 years ago. And let me give you a little bit of history before I bring Sandy Culkin on. 1992, I was pastoring in Orlando, Florida, and had come out of Mobile, Alabama, where there was an organization called Integrity Music. And, I had wanted to work with them and for them in the worst way, but it just didn't work out. And then the invitation came to go to Orlando to pastor a church. And so we went there in 1989, and by 1991, I knew something was wrong. If this is what I was supposed to do, I should have been enjoying it more, but I dreaded Sundays. You know, it's a bad sign if you're a pastor and you don't like Sundays. Be like being a surgeon, you don't like, gore, or, blood or whatever. And so, but I redoubled my efforts. I was trying hard. And then my friends back in Mobile, Integrity Music, wanted to start doing worship conferences. So they invited me to be a consultant and help organize and plan them, which I did, and they went really well. But there were some flaws in the business model, and so after having done some conferences, they were looking to make a transition and make a change in leadership. Well, lo and behold, they sent an overture to me if I would be interested in coming back to Mobile to lead this conference training division. Well, be still my heart. I mean, this is what I wanted to do when I was living in Alabama, but the door didn't open, and now I was in Orlando, and here was this possibility of a position. But of course, I would have been traveling a lot, and they made it very clear that I couldn't do both, pastor and do this position. Well, now I was in a crisis, because this is pastoring was what I thought I was supposed to do. But this other opportunity was what I really wanted to do. So they weren't pressuring me, but they said, well, come on up, and we've got somebody we work who works with us named Sandy Culkin. Of course, I had met Sandy through a relationship in a church that I had attended here in Pittsburgh, Covenant Church of Pittsburgh. And so I knew him, and so I went up to Mobile, and I think I sat with about 12 people. And I did. He had us do the battery of profiles, and then he did like a little public presentation or analysis of our results. And when he came to me, he said, John is Superman. He tries to get into the phone booth and every day and change into his outfit and come out and be everything to everybody. But he's really not that happy, and here's why. And my first thought was, those rascals at Integrity Music had briefed him on my situation, and so that's how he knew. But then I realized I hadn't told anybody about how unhappy I was. We were just pursuing this possibility of a position. And so I guess I looked pretty shocked, and so Sandy came up to me after the meeting and said, let's have dinner tonight. And so I think, if I remember correctly, he was staying at the Holiday Inn in Tillman's Corner, Alabama. And I went out for dinner, and we had a really nice evening. He said to me, listen, I can't tell you what God's will is for your life, but if you think this position is what he would want you to do and what you want to do, here's why you'd be well suited to do it. And he went through my profile and showed me again why, you know, how task oriented I was, how why I was so unhappy at pastoring. And I remember this was the day before cell phones. We finished dinner. We walked out of the restaurant in the hotel, and I asked the restaurant to borrow their phone. And I used my AT&T credit card and I called my wife back in Orlando. I said, tomorrow I'm going to meet with the president. If I can work out the money, I'm going to resign the church and I'm going to take this position. And if I remember correctly, we were far apart on the money. And it was Sandy who advised to the organization and said, if you want the gift, pay the man what he wants. And they did, and I resigned. But let me just add one more piece before I bring Sandy on. I was so blown away by what he did. It was so impactful on my life that I said, God, I'd love to do this for other people. And so, you know, I sat in on some of Sandy's sessions. I watched how he used the profile, how he analyzed them, and I became certified. And again, that would have been 1992, 1993. And just this morning, I sent a link to a profile assessment that I purchased from Sandy's company, and I sent that link to a 17-year-old young man in Kenya. Because there is my friend Irene there who is also certified, and she now purchases her profiles through me, and I purchase them through Sandy and his company of People Keys is the website, and Institute for Motivational Living is the organization. So, you know, and when in 2001, when I was looking to make a transition again out of a local church, Sandy helped me set up my own system of using these profiles. But more importantly, he I don't want to say he gave me permission, but he just said, "You can do this. You'll be okay." And that's kind of where we stood. Now, we haven't talked in a few years, but when we chatted yesterday, it was just like old times, because we used to, and the problem is we used to hang, you know, we used to talk all the time. The problem is we see things very similarly, so we can really feed off of one another. But anyway, I'll always be grateful. And so let me, without further ado, bring my guest for today, and it's Sandy Culkin. Sandy, welcome to Wake Up to Purpose.
Hey, John, it's such a pleasure to be on, and, you know, as I was just listening, you are one of my great success stories. You know, there's no success without a whole bunch of successors, and, you know, you have really done excellent. You know, I think about it's been almost 30 years, you know, when we first got together. That's a long time. I remember somebody said, do you know what it takes to be a friend of Sandy Culkin for 30 years? Can you imagine what it would take to be a friend of Sandy Culkin for 30 years? And then, of course, everybody's waiting to listen to what he says, and then he says, it takes 30 years. It's been a long time. So
it has, you know, and you – yeah, your offices were in Newcastle, PA, and I used to go up there very often. And then, of course, you've relocated to Ohio. And I think that was, you know, that and some other things that happen, life happens. But I don't get to see you and hear from you as often as possible. We had lunch when I was pastoring at Allegheny Center Alliance. I was on staff there because your daughter was attending there. And so we had lunch.
Colleen.
And I didn't know you had a house up on Mount Washington, so I met you up there and we went out to lunch. But it's been a while. And again, what I said, that wasn't just for public consumption, what I said in the introduction. I mean, that's the actual story. Do you remember any of that? Do you have any recollection? Do I have missing pieces, or do I have pieces out of place?
But there's one thing that you missed. You missed the fact that in that meeting, when we met at the hotel, in the back of my car, I had a straitjackets in several sizes, just in case I needed one. I was, you know, with all kidding aside, But yeah, I do remember. I remember all those events, and I remember, you know, and that's one thing about the test of friendship. Friendship is something that you might not see a person for a few years, but you just pick right up where you left off.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
easy. So, but yeah, there's been quite a journey. You know, People Keys, you mentioned People Keys. You know, we've transitioned. There are a lot of people that have taken the DISC profile, but in fact, we just did a seminar. My associate, Brad Smith, who's now the president of People Keys, he did a session with Microsoft. We're the only Microsoft-approved vendor, and which is not an easy thing to do. And
right.
so we're kind of working our way through Microsoft. But one of them from Europe, one of the high-level managers said that, you know, he says, I've taken DISC through the years. He says, but your DISC is so much different. Why is it so much different?
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a couple reasons. One is that we chose to look at the positive sides of personality and the positive sides
uh-huh.
of human behavior. And then we've come out with our four dimension, our 4D, which measures
4D.
Not
mm-hmm.
only, I mean, people of the same style can have can act differently, and that's because they think differently, or they have different values, or they have different internal motivators. So we tried to capture all of those things, and those are the new tools that you use now. So, you know, just a little bit of history on People Keys. We're the only validated, the most validated instrument from Texas State. We have ISET certification, soon to be ISO certified, only one in the world that assesses 1,440 different styles. So that's enough of the
mm-hmm.
commercial part of it, our new technology. But most of all, I think what it does, as far as my kind of statement is, you know, I like to help change lives for people who want to accomplish their purpose. And that's one of the
mm-hmm.
things that I think has always fit so well with what you do. You know, purpose has always been a paramount
mm-hmm.
thing. You know, you've written your books, you've seen the value, and this has been a tool to help accomplish that. So, you know, it's
yeah,
just
no question. Yeah. Well, you know, it's an unequal partnership. You are the greater. I am the lesser. I just happen to be tagging along. And, but you're right. It goes so hand in glove with purpose. And I've loved to use the DISC and the values and the teams in faith settings, because, you know, very often people haven't been taught, or they haven't been encouraged to think about who they are, who they're not. And so I've always said that the profiles help prime the pump. They help people get over that hesitancy. And once they see how accurate it is, how it speaks to who they are and who they're not. And you taught me and showed me how to do it when you do public analysis or public debriefings, how to make it fun, how to make it lighthearted, and people in their team settings start to laugh. Yes, this one has a tendency to be late. This one is very quiet. This one, you know, always wants to be in charge. And it's no longer finger pointing, it's applause. It's okay, we see that now. We just thought that person was just trying to be difficult or stubborn. But no, that's who they are, and that person understands. They're validated. And I've had how many? And I think, you know, right now in People Keys, I think I have 12 or 1,300 profiles that I've done, and I think I did 2,000 on the old one. But how many people have walked out and said, I feel so validated. You didn't really tell me anything I didn't know, but I felt so validated. And, you know, and you're right, I travel in your wake, behind your yacht to do what we do. Sandy, I'm not sure I've ever asked you, how did you find this? How did you have the vision to do all this? You didn't invent necessarily the DISC profile, but how you've modified it, how you've adapted it, how you've made it, as you said, so compatible with people finding their purpose. Tell us a little bit about how you got started.
Well, you know, there's so many sides to that story, John, because what happens, you know, when I went to college and graduate school, when I did those things, you know, my was different, and it, you know, mm-hmm. it changes, things change along the way.
Sure.
You know, I found myself getting into business to help my father and my grandfather, you know, in some of the early years, you know, after school. And of course, it was good training. I believe God has, you know, God has a timing and a kind of a directional finder in your life, you know. And so it all kind of stemmed. I thought I was, you know, originally I was thought I was going to be on my way to medical school. That was my original plan. And I was the first year of the baby boom. And so I didn't realize that the applications were going to, you know, be 20, 30 times what they were the year before. And so, you know, it forced me to go into some different things. And so that caused my path to change there. And I was very interested in psychology. And that's kind of like the world that I kind of wanted to be in. But I kind of had an abrupt change into business. But even a more abrupt change, you know, at sundown tonight is the Jewish New Year's. It's Rosh Hashanah. And I was born and raised, you know, in the conservative Judaism, you know, kind of genre and of Judaism. And so, you know, I was bar mitzvahed and studied Hebrew and all those things and never thought that I would be in any kind of different path other than that. But I was to find that down the road here that, you know, I met a young lady, the gal that I'm married to today, my wife, Patty. And, you know, she was a Gentile and from the Presbyterian realm. And so, but she had a girlfriend that was always talking to her, you know, about accepting Jesus, having a more of a faith type relationship. Of course, I didn't quite understand all that. But as things would have it, you know, I went to a church service to kind of, you know, appease her. I really wasn't too interested in following that path. But it was at that church service that they were talking about tongues. I never heard about tongues in my life. You know, my father was in the meat business. I knew cow's tongues, lamb's tongues, veal tongues, beef tongues. You know, I never had any idea of what they were talking about. I got up, walked out of service, and I went out, and I was in the waiting area, just kind of waiting for them, the service to be over, and just go home. And a man came up to me, and he says, would you mind if I pray with you? Well, it was interesting because my father was dying at the time. He had terminal cancer. He had Hodgkin's disease in the fourth stage. He was not doing well. He was a big guy, and he was just kind of wasting away to nothing. And so when he said to me, would you mind if I pray, I'm thinking, oh, wow, yeah, maybe that would be good. I was not much of a praying person. And so he started to pray, and in the middle of that prayer, he started to speak in Hebrew. And it got my attention right away. Now, he was praying. He thought he was praying in tongues, and I'm hearing Hebrew. And it was a part of a prayer that I had prayed when I was being bar mitzvahed and prayed it on Saturday mornings called the Amida, very special praise to God. And, of course, you know, I asked him right away. So, how do you know I'm Jewish? He said, well, I don't know who you are. I said, well, where'd you learn Hebrew? Of course, he was so amazed. He kept, that was Hebrew? That was Hebrew? He kept saying, that was Hebrew? So he was, I guess, more amazed over that his whatever he was saying was Hebrew. But that was the real, I guess, pivotal event in my life that started to change my purpose. It started to change things for me, and I started to look at life different. I started to look at things different. I started to look at relationships different. I started to look at my future in a different way, and that was kind of like the pivotal event. And so I was still in business, though, as far as you know that goes. I was still in business, and I was getting ready to go, you know, a different direction there because my father had passed away and my grandfather had passed away, and I was kind of like stuck with the the business part of it. And a friend of mine called me up that I was at Kent State with, a roommate. He said, "Hey, Sandy, do you want to go to a seminar with me?" It's a time management seminar that you know, we were going up to the University of Michigan, and so I went with him. And when I was up there, I met a fellow named Merrill Douglas, who is a professor, and he said to me something very profound as we were up there. He said, "Sandy, why don't you think about getting into the personality world?" We had talked. He says, "You're very interested in it," and he opened up a door for me with a company called Performax, and that was a company that was distributing the disc profile that was actually developed by William Marston and was changed by John Geyer, and so I went and I got involved with them, and I in a couple of years I became the largest distributor that they had in the world. I just caught on, and I was doing it basically in the church market. I was training people. I made it simple. I was training people, training pastors, training lay people to do counseling and to be able to get down to the real nitty-gritty and to help relationships and communication, because I realized right away that the DISC profile was a communication tool. You know, when you put it in the hands of a person that wants to do good with it, or do ministry, or to do team building or coaching or whatever they might want to do with it, it's a very valuable tool. Well, that's how it all started. But then I realized that they made it very complicated, and I was trying to make it very simple. And so what I did was I developed our own certifications. I developed, I changed some of the language. We came out with our own copyright. We realized that we needed to simplify things. We needed to take it to different environments. We needed to use it in hiring. And that's how things started to work. I was using it in my own training, and that's where I met you. I was down in went down to Integrity and many other places. I was working with the government. I had a tremendous marketing plan. You know, if what I did is I give you back your money. I gave you a money back guarantee, but if you were dissatisfied in any way, but if you were satisfied, you had to give me 3 letters of recommendation to people of equal stature and company of equal statures. And that's how it really started, and it kind of expanded from there. And I realized that my purpose was to really help people accomplish their purpose and to really help people really fulfill the love commandment, you know, where part of that love commandment is to love one another. And I realized that that I was that was really the assignment that I was on. And then the spiritual part of me, you know, from that journey from way back when Patty and I got married, we had gotten more in tune, and I realized that the Bible was just filled with relational stories and people that were just like me and people I knew. And I was able to go back and relate those stories. So I started to travel in churches, and I was traveling in churches all across the world and in, with ministries and, you know, sharing relationships and sharing stories and sharing those things. And I saw the power of God move on people. I saw lives change. I saw marriages healed and relationships healed. I saw and that really opened a door, because there were so many people from those you know, from being in churches and those organizations, who wanted me to come into their businesses. That's how I met Mike Coleman from Integrity Music, and that's I was at a conference with Christian International, and so he was there, and he wanted me to come to Integrity. And so it kind of opened up a world for me, and I was traveling so much of the time. And then I realized that I needed to go ahead and to say, look, I need to unwind this business around me. I'm gone. I have a family. I have, you know, even my children. And, you know, I want to be a part of their lives. I don't want to be on the road all the time. And so we started to unwind this thing. And then my associate, then Brad Smith, came to me. His father served with me on the board of the Bear Foundation. Bear Foundation, we do Christian foster care. We did 7,000 kids in therapeutic foster care last year. We have a 90% rehabilitation rate, as opposed to any state, probably around 12% rehabilitation rate. So it just shows you the God factor, what the difference the God factor makes. And, of course, we use these assessments in hiring, and we use these assessments in relationships. Right now we're doing stress, using the DISC in dealing with stress, because we're in such a stressful time right now, and people are really focusing on their dominant fears, and it's creating stress in families. There's more abuse. There's more issues that are taking place. And so with the Bear Foundation, was Paul Spent, who was on the board with me, and introduced me. He had his son a call, and Brad was in the computer world. That was his expertise, and he was very instrumental in putting our assessments. We had the assessments, and he started to put them. We started using the internet. We started using, way back then, it was a floppy disk. You know, you put the floppy disk in, and you got your reports.
Yep.
Remember those?
Yep.
And then, so now we're on the internet. We can actually give people an actual store on their website. Actually, give them a website revolving around. We call it our snippet, where they can actually attach and use these assessments. We work with John Maxwell. We certified 6,000 of his coaches. We're working with numerous organizations. But so that's been kind of like the progression. I think that God definitely, when he got a hold of my life, I think he changed my vision and started taking my vision away from being a successful businessman where I would make a lot of money and I would do those things from that angle, where I would be successful by helping other people be successful. And that's how God started to direct our steps. And so how do we do that? We did that by enlightenment, by giving people everybody wants to know something about themselves, everybody.
Right.
And so when you're able to do that and you're able to confirm things that are, they're going through, or be able to help them see things they didn't see before, recognize some of their weaknesses, and realize that alongside those weaknesses are tremendous strengths that oftentimes they learn to compensate. And not only that, even in a team, people think differently, and oftentimes there's issues in relationships that take place. So what happens is by understanding the styles of people, how they think, how they value, their internal motivators, their personalities, you don't take things personal. And so it's an easy way to make peace. And I think that's the harmony and agreement. And I've had one message for so many years, and the message is, well, there's agreement, there's power. And when there's disagreement, there's a lack of power. And trying to have agreement in a family, agreement between parents and children, agreement in a business, agreement in the ministry, agreement in a nonprofit, agreement. I wish there was that kind of agreement in the political time right now, because, it's not just in the U.S., but all across the world. There's such disagreement and polarization. But where there's agreement, there's power. And when there's disagreement, there's a lack of power. And so our contribution is to help people really accomplish their purpose, but also help them accomplish agreement in their life so that they can truly find their purpose, but let it happen in a peaceful environment. So that's been the progression. So right now we outmaneuver and we are definitely way ahead of our competition, anybody that's doing anything, any profiling, by our technology, by our validations, by our accreditations, by the fact that we have so many different combinations. And, it's our goal was to be the experts in what we do, in understanding people, and then to help all those that connect with us in any way, and the people that connect to us through you, for them to have the same expertise, for them to be able to help people that they touch in whatever world they live in. And so that's been our mission. That's been our vision. That's purpose. They all kind of are flow in sync, even though they might be worded differently. But we enjoy doing what we're doing. And, you know, it's a gift of God for a person to enjoy their work. Boy, we enjoy what we do for sure. So I hope that answered your question. You know, it's a long way to get a long way around the stream. I always say it only took me about 35 years to be an instant success. So
right. Yeah. Well, you're right. It's a long journey, and you know, the agreement piece is so true. I mean, it brought peace to my own heart that this is who I am. This is who I'm not. You know, and helped me even in the last church situation I went into. I said, this is what I do well, this is what I don't do, this is when I don't thrive. If I have to be in doing those kind of things, you'll have to realize you're not going to get the best of me, because I'm going to invest a lot of energy having to be who I'm not. I have to think about it. If you'll get me in my wheelhouse, my sweet spot, and allow me to be who God made me to be, then I think I can really bring a lot of benefit to the church. And they had been familiar with the disc. I had introduced it to them, so they were very familiar and very cooperative. But I've often said, Sandy, that as much as the disc helped me understand myself, it really helped me understand other people. And put their style on an equal footing with mine, because I tended to see my style as, you know, this was the superior style. This was, if everybody was just like this, the world would just be a better place. And, of course, there could be nothing further from the truth. And I found that I was now able to give people leeway, from my spouse to my children to the people I worked with, to be who they, who God created them to be, and for us to look to ways to partner as opposed to spending our time challenging one another or trying to change one another. And it it really, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. When I do training in secular settings that maybe aren't faith-based, that's the only Bible verse I use and refer to, because when I found out the truth of who I was, it set me free to be even more of who I was, to build my life on that as opposed to who I was not. Now, one of the things I always observe from you, and I learn from you, and I don't know if this is even going to be stated properly, but you know, sometimes when you were doing your public analysis or your debriefing of the profiles, I mean, you were functioning in more than just a profile administrator. There was an aspect to you when you talk about purpose where you were really speaking into people's lives beyond even what the profile may have been in black and white in the profile. Is that correct? And if it is, could you elaborate on that?
Well, John, it is so correct. In fact, it's so funny because we were just talking about it this morning. I was talking with Brad, you know, he was the one who was facilitating and was the, you know, the he and my another associate, John Schindel, the two of them were the facilitators and the trainers for Microsoft. And one of the great scriptures that I love, it says, you know, when Job, even though he went through all the trouble, it said when he sat in the gates, because he had so much wisdom, that he said the young men would cover their mouths. Because all they wanted to do was hear what he had to say. They wanted to hear that. And so that's kind of been kind of our prayer, that, you know, that people would, they would be so enthralled and so amazed by some of the things that you might tell them that it would immediately connect. Because oftentimes people don't remember all of the intricacies or the individual words, but they remember how they felt. They remember it made them feel good. They'll remember one truth, maybe something that was relevant to them. And so, you know, we've found over the years that that there's a spiritual side of this, at least because we have the faith that believes that. But there's a spiritual side. In fact, I was on Sid Roth's show. Those of your listeners that are familiar with Sid Roth, who does the supernatural, and we were talking about actually a supernatural side of really. In fact, you alluded to it. You said like it's a catalyst, or it's like cranking up an engine. The disc. What happens is we believe that sometimes the supernatural, that God can put some thoughts into your mind that show you an insight into people that there's no other way you could know it. It happened yesterday with Microsoft. It happens. It has happened in every session that I've ever done. I'll look at that assessment, and there'll be thoughts that'll come to my mind that will absolutely be, you know, people will be, well, how did you know that? Just like you said, how did you know that? Did you talk to people at Integrity? And then you realize, wait a second, you hadn't said anything to people at Integrity. But I think that's supernatural a part of it. I don't want to sound hokey to anybody that's listening, but I believe that is a very relevant dimension, and we like to see people, you know, who are able to definitely use that. And I'm going to give you a very specific example. I was in Washington, D.C., and I was sitting with the Undersecretary of the United States Treasury. And, you know, these are very, very powerful people. They control a lot of power in D.C., and they have a tremendous amount of people that are under their, under their authority. And so I'm sitting there, and he wants to know about his top-level leadership. And, of course, we laid out all the assessments, and we were looking at them. And I'm looking at his assessment, and this thought comes into my mind. And this is exactly what we're talking about. So this thought comes into my mind that he is having trouble with a son. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how can I possibly say that, you know, to him? But we're going over, and I went ahead, and I finally, as the conversation, you know, was going around, and we were talking about other things, and I brought up family issues, and I talked about, you know, how it helped me, you know, in my own life. And then I said to him, I see where you could be having problems with your son, and I even said your youngest son, not knowing that he had any children at all. And he looked at me like I had four eyes, and he picked up the profile, and he looked at me, and he picked up the assessment, and he looked at me again, and he said, "You saw that in here?" And you know, I didn't know quite what to say, and I said, "Well, not exactly." That opened up a door where we talked what had happened with his son, and there were some issues that he felt just terrible over, and they had broken relationships. And that started, and so I started asking him questions, and we figured out what the style was of his son, and we figured out, and I gave him an action plan, because people respond to certain things according to their style. When I started the Institute for Motivational Living, one of the things, you know, you could go motivation is rah, rah, I like it. Yeah, yeah, that's what I want to do. I'm motivated. This something excites me. But more often than not, people are motivated away from some things. They're motivated away from things they're afraid of, away from their dominant fear. They do actions to avoid the fear, to avoid those things. And so he, you know, so I gave him a plan. I recognized right away his style was opposite of his son's, and his son had touched his dominant fears, and he was touching his son's dominant fears. And so, you know, I remember giving him a plan, and he said to me, "But I'm right, I'm right." And I said, "Well, I agree, you're right, you're right. But you don't have a relationship with your son, and it's hurting you." And so I'll never forget, we went ahead, we wrote, I gave him some points in a letter and some things that he'd do, and it was very, that he had to do, and it was very humbling for him. But I remember going down to Main Treasury, and he, as I was going through security there, this was a number of years ago, and there he was. He was standing in the narthex of Main Treasury, and he came up to me, and He said, Sandy, he said, I knew you were coming here today. He said, before you started your day, I wanted to tell you that my son and I have made up. They hadn't spoken for over a year. It had created mm-hmm. problems with he and his wife. There were issues. He didn't know whether he would ever. It was such an intense thing. And then here's this very powerful man, very powerful, powerful man in government. And there he is with tears in his eyes there in the main narthex or the narthex of main treasury. And, you know, I knew that that was definitely a thought from God and that, that was meaningful for him. And he became a true advocate. He also got certified. Like you did, he started to use it in, he had numerous people around him that started to use it around his main team, his team. And that, uh-huh. I can tell that story over and over and over and over again. And as Brad and John Schindel were doing that with Microsoft, there were things that they said to people that were absolutely amazing to them. And we're personal. You just never know. Sometimes it's the thought that comes in your mind. You think you're just doing some analysis, but really it's the supernatural. So, in fact, Sid Roth liked it so much that he started to he wanted to offer people assessments through his organization so that they might be able to experience some of the supernatural with maybe with their families and these as they look at profiles to be able to. To see things that maybe they just don't see in the north, like you said, sometimes you just have to back up out of the situation. You have to take a look at it differently. And these assessments help you to do that. In addition to the God thoughts that you might get, things that could absolutely change the course and destiny of a person's life or make a decision that would help somebody accomplish their purpose. So like Forrest Gump, I'll say, well, that's all I'm going to say about. So,
yeah. Well, you know, it really freed me. I mean, I without any hesitation, I would say I imitate your when I'm debriefing in a public setting, I imitate your style, and because it was so meaningful to me, and I don't ever want to be reckless or just be throwing things out there. But when you do get in a flow of talking about somebody, it very often transitions out of what's in black and white and into the human, which is complex, and there's a spiritual side to people that they cannot see or understand, and this does give us a chance not to influence that area, but not to manipulate or to coerce people, but just to let them know that there is more to them than maybe they've even realized or maybe they have thought about in a while, and it opens them up to hopefully all the possibilities that are available to them. Sandy, we've got about 10 minutes, but I quote you because I watched you consult in more than a few situations. I always quote something. I think this is correct. You said something. Sometimes you just need to fire somebody. Nothing happens until you do that. Another thing you said, people don't do what you expect. They do what you inspect. And you were always and there were other sayings that I have used over the years. And in just the last 10 minutes, somebody listening in, you know, and you've built a multinational successful business that's touching a lot of lives. Can you just give some platitudes, some basic advice for somebody? You've talked about the teams and learning how to build in strengths and an agreement, and that's again a classic Culkinism of. Well, give us a few other tidbits that we can carry with us as we finish.
But you know, John, it's probably so many things that we've used out of the years. This gray hair that I have on my head, sometimes it comes from not just the good things that you learn in life, but also some of the difficult times that you have to go through. And I think we all go through, and that's what gives us wisdom. And so, you talked about just a couple of them that sometimes, you know, I learned that actually from a grandfather that said that to me years ago when I was in business with him. He says, sometimes you just, there has to be a sense of responsibility where if somebody sees you mean business, then it's like, it's amazing how the others will fall into place and do necessarily, you know, what they have to do. And I have used that many times as I've worked with companies and unions. Because when there's no consequences, and that's also where I started to develop, you know, you don't get what you expect, you get what you inspect, because you have to document things, and oftentimes, you know, you get disappointed. But I think the greatest thing that we've lived on, and the greatest, thing that has been more meaningful, and that we've already said it, is where there's agreement, there's power. And if I could leave that with anybody, if I could leave one thing with anybody today, is that we've tried to accomplish that in our office so that I don't have to fire anybody to straighten the rest of the team up. I would rather do the positive side and create a motivation around agreement. And I think agreement, there's a number of things that have to happen. I did a series called The Solomon System years ago, and I said King Solomon, you know, he developed one of the wonders of the world. And how did he do that? Well, he did that with a system. And the first thing that he did, he had to make peace on his borders. And I think if there's a desire, if you go into any situation desiring to make peace on your borders, desiring for there to be agreement, everybody has a story. Everybody goes through different situations. Everybody has circumstances in their lives. And, you know, it's just like, you know, how do you know it? Yeah, you're not walking in their shoes, so to speak. But getting them to tell their story and getting agreement, and I started to understand their style and where they're coming and looking through their eyes, is the first part of making peace on the border. Solomon did it by marrying everything that moved. You know, it didn't work so well for him later on. But the second thing is you have to identify your resources. And identifying resources in a person is very important because it's their strengths. It's knowing what their strengths. I identified it in you years ago. And because we were able to do that, and I went ahead and I had rapport with you, I developed rapport with you, I was able to go to the powers that be at Integrity Music and say, listen, this guy has gifts. You need these gifts. These are resources. You need these. If you want to build, you better put this into your portfolio because, not everybody's going to be, say, the same. Difference is good. And so, we need to embrace difference. We need to respect difference. We need to honor difference. And so part of that was recognizing the resources. And then you get the follow through of developing a plan. And I think everybody, if they're going to accomplish their purpose, they need to have a written plan. It needs to be in writing. You need to have it written down. You need to look at it. Look at where you're going. Put your goals in there, your mission in there, the things that will get you from point A to point B. And I think that gives agreement because you can, once it's in writing, you can tell people. People can rally around it. They can respond to it. Every company should have that, a vision and a mission. And the last thing is follow through, getting what you expect because you inspect and following through to the very end. And in all of that, all I could say is that we've tried to embrace that. This is a very short kind of thing that, but we practiced it and it's worked for us. God has honored it. And so we're very thankful, so thankful. And I'll give you my last one. Is that happy, thankful people have that much more to be happy and thankful about. Discouraged, depressed people have that much more to be discouraged and depressed about. And so focus on the things that bring you joy. Focus on the blessings of God. Focus on the things that you have. Anytime you feel bad, look around. You'll see people a lot worse than you. And so, those are the things that we have strived to teach others and to live in front of people. And so, John, you know, you've been very gracious to have me on today, and I appreciate it so much. I thank you for the time, and thank you for opening me up to the people that are listening today.
Yeah, well, thank you, and I know many of them have been profiled, and now they know where it comes from, because Sheila Hunt, who I think just wrote an article for you on her work with the DISC and the police forces, I introduced her to the DISC. I met her out in San Diego, Temecula, California, years ago, and she's a good friend. We're looking to collaborate on a book here soon. And one other thing I thought of, I just got to mention it. You don't have to elaborate, but you used to tell me we got to get it right at the top. If you don't get it right at the top, it won't work. And, you know, a lot of times people at the top, they want to fix everybody underneath them. But if they're a problem, or if they're not facing the reality of who they are and how they're imposing who they are on other people, it's not going to flow. And you looked at Psalm 133 and the oil that flows down on the robe. And so I've always used that, too. But, Sandy, you went to bat for me at Integrity. You've done that a number of times over the years, and I am grateful, and I'm sorry we sort of, you know, lost track over the last 6 or 7 years, but I woke up a week ago Saturday, and you were on my mind, and I said, I think I just need to reconnect, have you on the show. You did not disappoint, and I know anybody who listens will be challenged, will be blessed, and has learned something today. So say hello to Brad and the team, and maybe one day I'll take a drive over to Boardman and let you take me to lunch.
Hey, and bring Kathy with you, and yes, let's have a you know, we'll have a lunch or dinner or however. So come to our
house.
Good. I'd love to see you, John.
Yeah, and our love to Patty as well. And again, thank you for your time, and you've done a great job, and you've been a blessing in my life and lives of many people. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
All righty, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you have Sandy Culkin. Now you say, you know, I wasn't fooling when I said he's deeply impacted my life. I learned a lot of things from him. I don't ever want to take that for granted, and I'm looking at my 4D report here from his from People Keys. I'm looking at a copy of the graph sheet for somebody who I just sent his wife to be profiled, and have his profile here. So when we talk, I talk to the two of them. I'll have that right in front of me. So this has been an important part of my life, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. And during the pandemic, I've been doing just what I've continued to do what I've always been doing, and doing it online in profiling and coaching and helping people to find purpose. Well, I'm going to sign off on this show, and again, my thanks to Sandy for his time, and my thanks to you for listening in, and whenever it is that you are listening, I hope you are having a good day. If I can help you, there's going to be some information coming on from the announcer. Please get in touch with me. I would love to introduce you to what we just talked about in the way of the personality assessments and profiles, and some of the other things that we do. And Sandy's contact information is on the homepage for this show if you'd like to get in touch with Institute for Motivational Living or People Keys. That's it for now. This is John Stanker, your host. Stay tuned to have the contact information for me. And until we're together again, you be about the work of purpose in your life.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.